here it comes. A video exposed what bears striking resemblance to a 19th century child labor sweatshop has gone viral. Footage of underage workers slaving away in garment factories in Changshu, eastern China's Jiangsu province, have shocked people and got us asking, how can we end child labor in China in the 21st century, really. So, yeah, guys, please tell me more about what exactly has been revealed in this industry from this video footage.
Yeah, exactly. The government took action of the video showed child laborers working overtime in a garment workshop in Changshu City, Jiangsu Province. And officials in Changshu found 8 child laborers on Tuesday. The video was uploaded to pairvideo.com. It's a video website. It featured several unnamed sources, their faces obscured, who said agents had cheated people, including children under 16 years old from Yunnan province, by promising them high wages. And also, China News Service reported that the children will be accommodated in a school and sent home after the government helps them to get their salaries. The garment workshop foreman has been detained for hiring child laborers, according to local authorities. The foreman, surnamed Feng, 40 years old, was running the workshop without licenses in Changshu. And Changshu has one of the largest garment industries in China. An official says that there are about 4,000 clothing factories in Changshu, but such cases usually happen in illegal workshops without licenses that change their locations frequently. And the Changshu government has reportedly found 211 child laborers in 107 cases since 2002, China News Service reported. So apparently, this is not something new, at least in Changshu. Actually, it's a relatively prosperous region in China.
Yeah, looking at this, though, you know, it's no secret to me. It's no wonder to me how these kids come into this kind of way of life. One source said that although agents promise a monthly wage of 3,000 yuan, which in a lot of places isn't bad, the child laborers often make way less than that. Well, less than even half of that. So imagine, you know, you're a kid who doesn't know any better. Maybe you don't have parents as active in your life, and some agent comes around and says, hey, you can start off making 3,000 yuan, man, and that's just the starting pay. First of all, you're a kid, you don't know any better, and you're like, wow, all right, that sounds great, where do I sign? The source also said the workers are asked to hand in their identity cards and bank cards in case they try to run away. So here you see the agent suckering them into this job. Once they start, they get basically their identity taken away. So they can't just leave if they realize this isn't what they want to spend their life doing. Not just that, workers cannot get paid if they quit before they worked for a whole year. And even if they have to pay for traveling and living expenses, if they quit in that 1 year, basically, yes, they will have to pay for those expenses. So they come, they work, and for a whole year, I imagine they only get enough to get by. And then after that year, they're awarded their salary. But you can see from the handing in their identity cards to the whole, you get your full payment after a whole year of work. This is collateral. This is how they keep them sucked in. So if they have complaints, they said, oh, you know, so-and-so just lost their hands last week. This is not a good place to work. I need to get out of here, or something like this happens. Now they have their, not just their identity card in the hands of these people, but also the fact that maybe they've been working there 8 months, and so they're like, I'm so close to the end, I need to just stay. This kind of system just keeps them in.
Yes, and that is a really terrible system to get yourself into in the first place. But what's quite interesting, and also I think telling to some of the deeper reasons of this social problem we see right now, is that even when some of these underage workers, when they get rescued or they get a chance to get out of this system, they come back for more. And that is the part that I think is worthwhile our attention to do some analysis on, that why is this happening? often it is because that these... maybe these kids, they don't really see an opportunity for them in school or in the future. Why do they see this working in a child sweat, child labor sweatshop, the best option for them?
Or maybe their living conditions in their home place is not better than the current living conditions. You know, all of these cases, I believe, come from the underdeveloped regions of China. And they come back, they come out of the rural villages, well, with a picture in their heart of seeking a better life and maybe some extra cash. So although they had no other, I think they have a choice, but they choose to come back to the as a child laborer and work in the factory once they have the opportunity, because poverty in their home places, and you know, poverty and high school dropout rates are interrelated. And also in these underdeveloped regions, the parents maybe sometimes encourages the kids to make extra cash for the family. And some child laborers are not willing to go back to their hometown. 2 years ago, I remember, a child laborer was quoted as saying that at least we eat rice and meat here every day in the factory. But if we go back home, there will be only potatoes. That's really sad. So if we want to solve the problem from the root, we need to improve the living conditions and education conditions in their home place in the long run.
Yeah, I think, you know, not just that, I think we all take for granted, or those of us that have been educated, that grew up in a family that has received and appreciates education, that it has always been something that in our families we have really strongly put an emphasis on. It's been something that my dad always wanted me to go to college, always valued my education, always wanted me to put that first and foremost. But families that don't have a background in education, like I remember my grandfather, he actually became very successful through a lot of hard work, but he dropped, I think he finished high school, but he dropped out of college because he needed to make some money. But even before that, I think it was his 15th or mid-teens birthday, I remember he told me he was so excited because it was, I think it was Christmas or his birthday, but he was getting presents. And he opened up his present, and inside his present, and he's telling me this, he got a pair of working gloves and a mirror. And his father walked up to him and he said, my grandfather, a young little boy, was like, what is this about? And his grandfather said, these are gloves so you can go out and get a job, or this is a mirror so you can watch yourself starve. And though that does sound really intense, I remember actually my grandfather looked at it, and I don't think my grandfather's dad would have ever let that happen, but he does remember it being that turning point in his life where he realized he had to rely on himself. Now, at some point, I do think it's good that kids do go out and work. But in the right circumstances where they can still get an education and still work. Like I worked after school when I was 18 and I was just fine. But this kind of stuff is not okay. But I do see the problem with basically, I mean, people say this child labor is awful, but it sounds like to these children, life back home is more awful. So what kind of picture are we painting there?
Wow. Okay, I am, yeah, that floored me pretty much. Yes, you make a very good argument. I think for these students, I think, they're no longer students anymore. For these young people or teenagers. Just teenagers. Mm-hmm. I think we need to look at it case by case and try to find some sense out of it. And I think there is a certain amount of cases that are simply because that living condition at home is so dire, so bad, and this is the better option. But kids don't know better. Sometimes it is about, I saw my senior who left school, a rural school, a year ago, and came back with a fancy new hairstyle and maybe a new phone. and maybe some jeans. I haven't seen people wearing jeans before, and that looks so cool. And I want to get out of my village so I can simply get that. We've seen young people...Now I feel extremely old, but I feel age does come with wisdom to some extent. That life is so much more about getting a new phone or a pair of jeans. But teenagers, young kids don't know better. And sometimes they're simply lured away from school by that. And sometimes maybe parents don't necessarily know better either. When parents are working away or when parents are seeing thatas they move from rural life to urban, that it is getting the fast cash. That is the most important thing. Maybe education is secondary, even in the parents' mind. I think there's a lot going on here. Yuyang, what do you think about all of this?
Well, Heyang, I think you have pointed a very cute problem now in rural regions in China. Some kids reach the juvenile age.And they lack parental guidance because their parents might be in the urban area, something away from their hometown, and to find jobs and work there and support the family. So these kids, they are not fond of studying and maybe a little bit rebellious. But at the same time, their parents are not around and will not give them useful parental guidance. So under this circumstance, if they say other kids go to work in the city, they might also want to go as well. And they are, you know, kids are kids. They are not wise enough to make sensible judgment of their life. So I think that also reflects the problem of left behind children population. And Chen Lan, founder of a child abuse prevention non-governmental organization, said there are estimated 61 million left behind children in China, according to a survey conducted in 2015 by a Beijing-based NGO. So this child labor problem is kind of exacerbated or worsened by the huge population of children left behind in less developed regions by parents. So, that's a cute problem, and they need, one of their parents at least to be, beside them, or at least a parent can appoint a guardian to protect them and to guide them, to give them proper education.
Yeah, I think the dynamic that comes down here and why we see these kids returning is because we talk from a standpoint where we're comfortable, where we can, we make a living and we can focus on other things in our time and effort and bettering ourselves in academics or these kind of things. When you're struggling just to survive, it's like being in a pool and you're just trying to stay above the water.You're not thinking about doing laps from one end of the pool to the other or diving down in the water. Your thought is, I just need to stay alive a second longer. Oh my God. Oh my God. So there's this feeling of panic. So to expect these kids to worry about an education, to worry about their future, when they're just thinking about the day in, day out, how am I going to live, and not having anyone to call their home, their family, someone that cares about them, they want a sense of belonging somewhere.And at the same time, I think they want a sense of at least being able to survive, to not have to worry about tomorrow. And so I think that this place gives them that. And that's kind of sad to say that there's kids that this is their resort in kind of finding some way of happiness in life. And I think the problem is, you know, one of the problems is we make these companies are kind of...They are bad news because they're basically reeling in kids with completely fraudulent offers, offers that aren't realistic, things that take advantage of these kids, things that keep the kids in the place whether they want to be there or not. But at the same time, too, I think we see this as a haven, a way these kids can get out of something maybe even worse because they're returning to it. They're choosing to come back. So I think the system here is responsible.Yes, of course, the company shouldn't be doing this, but at the same time, these kids might be worse off if the companies weren't giving them at least a stable meal every day. I mean, they're returning, right? I'm not justifying
what all of them are returning.
Not all of
them.
Right. But the fact that that's happening, these kids feel that the company was better than what was at home, maybe. what I'm trying to say is that I think, again, we're seeing that there's two parts of the system that's wrong here. We can't just completely blame these companies, because then you're still going to have these kids starving at home, not knowing where their next meal is going to come from, not having any faith in any education system they're receiving back home. There also needs to be an investment in the infrastructure and them being able to be a part of something back home, to have a good education, to believe that a good education will take them somewhere.
Right, and that's exactly the weak point of the region where the child laborers come from. And the children don't believe in that education can change their fate. And because they haven't reached the legitimate age to work, there's no contract to protect them whatsoever. So, and also, as Ryan has portrayed, their ID cards and some caches are kept by the employers as collateral. And it, to me, they are treated like prisoners to some extent. And even so, they return from some time to time. So that's something we need to think about. The region where the children come from needs to more job to help the children and to improve their education.
Right. It's like, imagine like a shipwreck. You see all these kids drowning. They're drowning. But for some reason, the only people that are throwing out a life safety floaty device to these kids are these companies. They're the only ones throwing, and these aren't even really good deals. But these kids will take it because they'll take anything. What I'm saying is something better needs to be in place that isn't going to take advantage of these kids and will maybe give the kids the enough of an ability to be able to go to school and still be okay. To be able to have a meal every day and not worry about where they're going to be fed and where they're going to sleep, then they can focus on things like education. Maybe then they'll come around to thinking education is a way to go.
Yes, that's the work in the long run. But in the short run, I think those agencies need to be cracked down on. You know, they are doing illegal business. They gain the profit margin of at least 1,000 and sometimes 2,000 or 3,000 for per head of children. And also for those employers who hire child labor, they definitely deserve severe punishment.
Okay, I'm just going to take it one step further. And Ryan, I agree with your argument, but I don't agree with your notion. I think that these companies or these factories and that employ these children without a contract, obviously because it's illegal, I think they're not doing anything good. I don't even see them throwing the rope that is life-saving for these kids. I think kids don't know better. This is just very straightforward exploitation of these factories. And even if maybe they're offering meat and rice for these kids, but that is not okay. This should be stopped immediately.
But who else is offering meat and rice? Are you? Once you take that away, they go back to starving. Is that okay?
Well,
there needs to be something else in place. Nobody else is giving them food for the day in, day out.
Well, here, where is the parents? And also, where is the government?
I agree. That needs to be changed.
Yes. So there are parts
that's
that
where
we agree.
Agree.
But there are parts that we disagree fervently. Yes. And also,
it wouldn't be roundtable if we did disagree.
Absolutely. And I had to stand up for these kids in that regard. Although,
yes.
Here, I think it's also very important that we establish what the loss is. What does the law say specifically regarding this so we can better bolster the supervision role of the local government?
According to Chinese law, companies can't employ people younger than 16, and the employers are required to pay a fine and rectify their crimes, while a company's licenses can be revoked under serious circumstances. But Wang Jianzong, a professor, says the punishment currently imposed is not a sufficient deterrent.
Okay, that's not an efficient deterrent, but we need some crackdowns here, and also education, living conditions must be improved in rural areas, and that comes to the government. That's all for now. See you in a bit.